You're watching The American Journal with Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, we are being joined live by the powerful gubernatorial Florida candidate, James Fishback, who's running against the infamous, at this point, Byron Donalds. We want to ask him about his campaign, about events going on in the world, things he's been involved in, conversations people are having. James Fishback, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on, Fishback. It's been a while. The last time we talked to you was on our show probably, what, like 4 months ago, five months ago? A lot has changed, and we just want to catch up, see what's going on, because, you know, we've been seeing you online.
Yes.
So what's changed since then?
Well, lots changed. Congratulations to your new show, and it's great to see you guys here, and thanks for the opportunity. I want to just start off by saying that I want to wish everyone a meaningful Good Friday, and I would ask everyone to say a prayer, if they could, for the two men that were in that F-15 that was shot down by the Iranian regime just an hour ago, that search and rescue operation underway. But it's sad that the conflict has gotten to this point, and keep those two men in our prayers as we hope and pray for an end to this war with Iran.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. There are multiple reports, some unconfirmed, that there are some real nasty things developing right now. I've seen multiple news sources report on it now. Axios has reported on an F-15 being shot down. What are your thoughts on that speculation?
Yes, it is. It is tragic. It is yet another reminder that the leaders who wield the levers of war and peace have to be very conscious about what wars we are getting into and why and how we should maintain the peace. And so I voted for President Trump in 2024. I don't regret that decision, but I do think this war is misguided. I haven't seen any intel that suggests that there was an imminent threat posed from Iran to the United States. It looks far more likely that it was Israel trying to get us once again into one of their wars to increase their influence in that region. And so it is sad that we're yet again seeing potentially more casualties on the American side, whilst Israel has yet to suffer a single casualty in a war that we would not be in if it were not for them. And so that's why I went to Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. I stood outside of the Capitol and I respectfully pushed back on the administration that I support, that it's time to either share credible intelligence that shows that Iran does in fact pose an imminent threat to the United States, or it's time to begin to de-escalate this conflict and bring the thousands of troops who have been sent to the region back home.
Now, I'm very curious, kind of like the behind the scenes aspects to running a political campaign. And when you go to Washington and you do these things, you're on a big platform now. Do you ever get any pressure behind the scenes as you're speaking out against these conflicts?
Yes, to put it lightly, the DMs be blowing up. And so, yes, of course, there are the people who try to stop or push back. And I welcome that debate. But I think at the end of the day, Americans deserve to know the truth.
Right.
Tim, not your version of the truth or my version of the truth, but the truth singular. And the truth is that the reason why Joe Kent resigned from number two at the Director of National Intelligence was because he hadn't seen the intel. The reason why Tulsi Gabbard was asked point blank under oath in congressional testimony if Iran was an imminent threat, and she refused to answer. And so say what you want about George Bush, Colin Powell, 2003 in the Iraq War, at least they had the common courtesy to give us a made up pretext for the war. They're not even extending that courtesy these days. And so
yes.
I voted for President Trump, among other reasons, to end the forever wars. Forever wars that were started by George Bush, perpetuated by Barack Obama. This was a break, a post-partisan break from the neocon uniparty consensus that always found a way for us to get involved in foreign conflicts. And so I think that's a number one reason why a lot of people in my state voted for President Trump. I went to the internment of the U.S. service member who was killed in the early days of the war in Kuwait, Major Cody Cork. And when you go to one of these funerals and you see up close what war does to people, it really does shape and reframe
right.
How disastrous this conflict can be. And so there's no question that Major Cork died a hero. He died in service to his country. And it's time to make sure that we can limit all future casualties and do right by service members and make sure that we are honoring their commitment as well.
Very powerful point. I want to say this to the viewers, listeners at home, the people hearing us right now doing this interview. War is a dead body in the grave, rotting with maggots in it. War is a little kid with no arms or legs. That's what war is. And when you go out there and you support a conflict without knowing much about it, just accepting government's narrative, whatever they're going to tell you, just realize what's going on. And we're not divorced from these conflicts. Whatever happens overseas could eventually, potentially, God forbid, happen at home. You're running this very intense grassroots campaign where you're literally talking to everybody in an effort to beat the big funding. When you talk to people on the street, when you go to these funerals, when you talk to soldiers, veterans, you name it, what's the feeling about war from them?
They understand that it's a necessity, that sometimes it is absolutely necessary and you can't avoid it. But it also means that when you do go into war, you have to have a clear exit strategy, clear defined objectives. We had the president of the United States address the country 2 days ago, and he talked about bombing Iran back to the Stone Ages. That's not a clear objective. That's not why we're going to war with Iran, is to bomb them back to the Stone Ages. In fact, Rex, we've heard at least five different explanations as to why we're in this war. It was to stop the nuclear program. I thought Operation Midnight Hammer fully denuclearized Iran last summer. And then it was regime change. Here we go again. I thought President Trump was against regime change. And then it was to avenge the deaths of American service members that Iran had perpetuated for years. I can agree with that, but you avenge those deaths when they happen. You don't wait 30 or 40 years to do that. And then, of course, the last one, which is the most perplexing, is that Iran was somehow an imminent threat to the United States. And if that is actually true, I'm happy to change my mind, and I think millions of Americans are as well. If Iran was actually plotting to attack, say, New York City or Chicago or LA, absolutely, we should go in there and take them out. But there's no evidence of that whatsoever. And so I fear that this is a classic case of mission creep. We got in almost certainly because of Israel, and now we're redefining the objectives every 48 hours, and we'll never be able to get out. This is exactly what happened in Iraq. Right? We were supposed to go in there, identify weapons of mass destruction. They didn't exist. And then it became a nation-building counterinsurgency operation. Same thing with Afghanistan. We went in there to unseat the Taliban government, who had given safe haven and refuge to Al-Qaeda, which attacked us on September 11th. And the next thing you know, we're there for 20 years building schools and trying to win over the hearts and minds of the people. That is not why we go to war. We go to war because it's necessary, and to take out a threat to the United States of America, not to install democracies in countries that, quite literally, Tim, you and I both know this, these are countries that can never be democratic. In fact, as much as it might suck to say this, let's get realistic. Many of these countries are better off when they're run by theocratic monarchs. I don't know that the Middle East is better off or Iraq is better off for having lost Saddam Hussein. It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. I don't know that Libya is better off for having lost Gaddafi. It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Well, I want to interject here because it's been the stated mission of the United States for years to have no secular democracy in the Middle East, no regime like Assad, for example, that would tolerate various ethnic and religious minorities in his nation. And you can look at Assad and say he's a murderer, he's a killer. And now, look, we got the Al-Qaeda terrorist in charge. So, Tim, your thoughts on that? Another question.
Well, I mean, we're not to take away from your guys's point, but you were talking about Israel there, and this isn't like a hardball gotcha. But I want you to just kind of clarify your positions on Israel, because I get a little confused, and I know you're not in support of this war. And Rex and I have the standpoint that Israel has clearly had a lot of influence in this conflict. But then I see pictures of people trying to post pictures of you with like a Israeli and American flag pin and those types of things. And I'm guessing those photos are from the past. Can you just clarify kind of where your position is at and what those photos of people of just criticizing you are alluding to?
Absolutely, Tim. Thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. So that photo was taken shortly after October 7th, which was a tragedy. Anytime you kill thousands of innocent lives, whether they're Israeli, whether there was Americans there as well, there were Thai, Cambodian foreign workers who were killed in that awful attack. A friend gave that to me, and I wore it in the month or so after this heinous attack by Hamas on innocent individuals. And so I'm not going to apologize for wearing a flag pin, especially after that attack. Now, that flag pin, I think, often is worn by people who try to suggest that the U.S. is somehow in a great allyship with Israel. That is clearly not the case. I've never said that. I've never advocated for U.S. military aid going to Israel. The purpose of me wearing that pin while American citizens were being held hostage in Israel, or rather in Gaza by Hamas, was to call the world leaders to help bring those hostages home, something that President Trump rightly called for at the time. And I believe that President Biden and Vice President Harris were not doing enough for. And so with respect to, I think, the larger conversation, which is, well, you know, where did this guy come from? He's saying all the right things. What's up with that? Is this, I will always change my mind when the facts change. I was never some staunch supporter of Netanyahu or Israel. I never really had many public views about this. People will point to a debate I had with the one and only Destiny back in 2024, in which I said that Iran should not be able to fund proxies like Hezbollah and Hamas to attack Israel. I still stand by that. I don't think, you know, wherever you stand on Israel, pro or anti, you should not want a theocratic radical regime funding proxies that attack anyone in the region. And so I think there's a bigger, broader conversation that a lot of people want to have, which is, well, you were saying one thing and now you're saying something different. And yeah, guilty as charged. When the facts change, when Israel bombs the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza City, things change. My mind will change. When Netanyahu comes out and never accepts responsibility, never delivers accountability for that attack on Christians, when he goes out just last week and denies access to His Eminence Cardinal Piazzaballa, access to this holy church in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, of course, I'll call that out. And so, of course, my views will change on this. But I think what matters most is that Americans unite under a universal fact that whether you are pro-Israel or anti-Israel, perhaps even if you're apathetic or indifferent, we should all believe the fact that no American should be sent to die in a war for Israel.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I think more people need to have the belief system that your ideas can change with information.
We talk about that
October,
all the time.
Yeah, October 7th happened. I vividly remember exactly how it happened. I was watching the videos, the clips as they were coming out. And the average American was pro-Israel at that time because it was just an awful, heinous act. Call it a false flag or whatever. You just saw a bunch of kids dancing and having a good time, and then you just see people hunting them down with AK-47s and
I think the drones and missiles. I think the thing that you're referring to is the potential of a green flag operation. We had an Israeli citizen on our show, and we listened to him talk about this, and he's like, look, I understand the military of my nation. I understand our borders. We have a helicopter base 20 minutes from here. We've had Green Berets on my dad's show talk about it. I mean, there's this 8-hour period where they're just being slaughtered by Hamas and nothing gets done. And we just see these wars always work out, not for the citizens of the country, whether that be Iran, America, or Israel. It's always in service to the regime, to the government. I think people want peace and Americans want to be respected. Do you see that hunger as well?
I do. And I think there are serious questions about whether there was a stand down order from Netanyahu or a high-ranking Israeli official on October 7th, because it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And you'll remember, Rex and Tim, at the early hours of October 7th, there were videos, extremely raw graphic videos shared on X of just how heinous. I remember there's one, and again, pardon the graphic nature of this, but there was one where a Hamas fighter went into a barbershop and there was a Filipino expat worker, and with a gardening hoe, chopped his head off while he was alive. And so, of course, that kind of tragedy should be condemned fully. It's just absolutely disgraceful. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Americans do hunger for peace. We don't want to be involved in these wars. Yeah, it's cool to see rockets and fighter jets and all of that. We want, I think what President Trump did rather successfully in December with Venezuela is we want a war, or a short-term conflict rather, that actually does something meaningful for Americans. Look, Maduro was a dangerous guy who didn't just kill innocent Venezuelans. He's responsible for the death of thousands of Americans. This is a guy, you guys have talked about it, who opened the prisons in Venezuela, the most dangerous gang-banging thugs, and then sent them to the United States under the guise of an asylum, open border nonsense from Kamala Harris, who was the border czar. And they came over, they took over condominiums, they flooded our streets with cheap addictive drugs like fentanyl. And so Venezuela was responsible for that. Maduro was responsible for that. And what did President Trump do? He sent the Delta Force down there to capture this guy and to bring him to trial in New York City. So that's the kind of military conflict that we want to see. It's in, it's out. There is a clearly defined objective and exit strategy. And most importantly, it is in the strategic benefit of the average American citizen. The average American citizen doesn't want Trendy Aragua gang members taking over their local condominium complex or pushing cheap fentanyl counterfeits on teenagers in the community. And so my fear, though, Tim, is that what happened in Venezuela, such a successful operation then, ended up deluding the administration and senior advisors of the president into thinking that what was going to happen in Iran is going to be just as easy, just as seamless, an in and out. I genuinely think that the president thought that the mullahs of Iran were going to surrender in 48 or 72 hours. But these Iranian hardliners, I mean, they will go down with the ship. They do not care. The Venezuelans are not principled. They're not ideological in that sense. They're good people. But the leaders themselves, they're willing to throw in the towel. I mean, Maduro, you saw he came out with the track shoot. They let him change. He was perfectly content doing that. He did not fight. He did not kick. He did not scream. And that is very different than the way Iranian theocratic clerics will act.
We got this mafia in our own hemisphere, and they do a quick military operation. I would consider it to be a war, and I don't support the operation, but it's in our hemisphere. It's Monroe Doctrine. There's an argument logically that can be made for it. And we see this conflict thousands of miles away. These are, as Lindsey Graham puts it, you know, religious Nazis. And what do you think you're going to do when you declare war on them? They're going to fight until they're all dead.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of our own hemisphere, you know, we're seeing the military capacity of what we can do. Okay.
Right.
One thing that I've always been curious, and maybe James, you can touch upon this, is why haven't we actually gone after the real problems like the cartel in Mexico? I mean,
yes,
they're actually killing Americans. If you really think about it, like, we're not really having a 9/11 or a terrorist attack, but we have millions of people dying from fentanyl overdoses and cocaine and those types of things. And Trump has signaled, like, I want to crack down on these things where, I mean, except for like Venezuela, where he said it was coming from there, which is a complete lie. It comes from China and Mexico. That's majority of fentanyl. But like for you, like, don't you think that we should be using those resources and intelligence operations to take out people who are actually bad for the American people and the Mexicans themselves, right at our doorstep?
Absolutely. And if this were a military conflict right now where we were using Reaper drones to drop bombs on Mexican cartels, absolutely. That is a good use of money and a good example of how we need to operate in our own hemisphere for the benefit of American citizens. Again, we're killing 100,000 people every single year with drug overdoses. And those precursors to fentanyl that are actually from China, that are shipped to ports on the Pacific Ocean in Mexico, that create counterfeit versions of whether it's Adderall, Percocet, Vicodin, they're pressed fentanyl pills that are made to look like popular drugs in the United States of America. People take them, and because of this addictive poison, they die very, very quickly. And so that's a very good use of kinetic force if you want to drop a bomb on cartels to stop them from being able to flood our streets with cheap addictive poison. That's a compelling strategic interest. That does not require $200 billion from the Pentagon. In fact, that operation could be done in an entire weekend, knock out the cartels. But again, that would not be to the benefit of the Greater Israel Project. That would not be the benefit of Raytheon stock price. So again, why are we doing these things? That's an important question we have to ask ourselves.
That's a super high level geopolitical narco trafficking rundown, how we're going to stop it, potential futures and causality there. On the street, when you're talking to people, and they may not be as politically locked into monitoring the situation or whatever it's called, like all of us are, and honor to them, you got a life, got a family, you got a wife and kids, take care of them, obviously, and all this stuff is really depressing to think about. What are they asking you for in relation to all these things? Are they asking you to look at the cartels in Mexico? Are they asking you to look at these conflicts that we're getting ourselves in? But what are they asking for domestically in relation? Where do they want that money to go? Instead of the wars, what are they looking to fund?
Well, that's a great question. I put out this video a couple weeks ago where I said that just as the New York Times was reporting that the Pentagon led by Secretary Hegseth, wanted $200 billion to fund this war. I thought this war was supposed to be over in just a matter of weeks. You don't ask for $200 billion, which, by the way, is more than we spent in the first full year of the Iraq war, if the war is supposed to de-escalate and come to an end in just a matter of weeks. So that's the first point. But I put out this video, and I'll ask you this, Rex. Would you rather, if we're going to spend $200 billion, and I don't think we have to, but if we're going to spend $200 billion, would you rather bomb Iran for Israel, or would you rather build 1,300 rural hospitals? Would you rather spend $200 billion bombing Israel, or rather Iran for Israel, or would you rather raise the teacher pay of the best teachers in America by $65,000? Would you rather spend $200 billion bombing Iran for Israel, or would you rather offer down payment assistance for 20 million young couples who are looking to start a family but don't have a home, and that is delaying their family plans? And so I'm not a big fan of spending money, period, as we're staring down a $40 trillion national debt. The average American will end up having to pay $135,000 of that debt, borrowing from the communists in China, borrowing from everyone in the world, including our enemies, and then putting and saddling that debt on our children and grandchildren. But if the question, gun to your head, is how are we going to spend $200 billion? I'd much rather raise the pay of first responders, firefighters, TSA workers, public school teachers, police officers, build rural hospitals, and of course, offer down payment assistance. I mean, this is the perennial struggle in politics, is that when we were sending $200 billion to Israel or $300 billion to Ukraine for them to lose a war, rather humiliatingly, no one ever asked, where are we going to get the money from? But if I come out and I say, we're going to do down payment assistance for 30,000 Florida couples every single year, the Poindexter in Tallahassee or DC wants an immediate Excel spreadsheet for how we're going to pay for every single penny of it.
Yes.
And so this is the dilemma of the double standard, is when the neocons want money for their forever wars to fight Russia or fight Iran, no one bats an eye at $200 billion here, $300 billion there. But when we quite literally only want 1/100th of that to fund programs for the exclusive benefit of American citizens, everyone could not be more apoplectic, except the voters on the ground, except hardworking Americans. And so that's, I think, the question is, people want to see money spent here. It was interesting. You might have seen this over the past weekend. Secretary Rubio was criticizing the Iranian regime. He said, you know, they're spending all of this money on bombs when they could be building schools and hospitals. And I said, sounds very interesting. We should apply that same logic as well. Look, I'm all for bombing countries if they want to hurt us.
I'm not totally okay with
bombing countries if they're not a threat.
I totally agree. It's time for the American people to be prioritized. The citizens feel that. We all have a hunger for it. We need it. We see the money being spent, and it's not being spent at home. It's not being spent on us. It's being spent to perpetuate these further conflicts so that transnational capital interests and the big banks, the big donors to political parties, political campaigns, so that they can keep and stay rich and make more money off other people's pain. We're going to be right back with James Fishback here. We're going to a network break. I want to remind you, thealexjonesstore.com is the place to get all your vitamins, minerals, supplement needs. That's thealexjonesstore.com. We got 40% discounts, 30% discounts on all your top products right now. You're going to want to find them. You're going to want to check it out. Fishback returns here with us shortly. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.